to begin the interview, Sri Chinmoy, by asking you about the meaning of the goal of attaining inseparable oneness with God. I know that T.S. Eliot has said that at the end of all our journeying, we will arrive at the place where we began, only to recognize it for the first time. Is this at all analogous to achieving total enlightenment?
It is practically the same thing. We go back to the source, but we have to know that there is no end to our realization in the source itself. Source is right now the beyond, but we have come to realize that this beyond is the ever-transcending beyond. The beyond is not the last point, it is not the final. There is an inner urge in the human as well as in the divine to transcend. There is no end to our human desires, so also there is no end to our divine realization. The beyond is the goal right now, but when we reach the beyond, we feel that the beyond can be transcended, and it is the ever-transcending beyond. God himself is transcending. He is everything. He is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and everything. But he himself is transcending his own realization and own perfection.
Is a beyond which is beyond even total oneness with God?
Yes, total oneness, inseparable oneness is one thing, and the manifestation of this inseparable oneness on earth consciousness is a different thing. When one realizes God, one becomes consciously inseparable with God, but that is not the end of the game. He has to manifest together. He has to manifest God like two partners, two players playing together consciously. Before he was an unconscious instrument of God, now he becomes a constant conscious instrument of God.
Mm-hmm. In your own personal life history, was there a particular point in your life when you achieved oneness with God that marked a change for you from then on?
In my case, I have to be very frank with you, I had this realization, whatever you call self-discovery, in my previous incarnations. I am carrying it. But it took me about 20 years to read the book, to revise the book that I already studied and knew perfectly. Well, so in this incarnation, it took me 20 years, from the age of 12, right up to 32, to revise the whole book which I studied once upon a time.
Mm-hmm. In watching the film that I saw with you, it was shown in Berkeley recently, one of the striking things that I noticed is the way in which your eyes are constantly quivering, and it gives one the sensation of an inner ecstasy. Can you comment about that?
Yes, I would like to. To an unaspiring person, the flickering of the eyes would look like a restless movement that cannot fix the gaze. But to the sincere seekers, this movement of the eyes will be a different matter altogether. Here, I am acting like a divine bird flying from one branch to another. It is like there are seven planes of consciousness, higher and lower. Since I am a spiritual man and at the same time I am in a meditative consciousness, I am flying from one plane of consciousness to another. It is like a bird flying from one branch to another. While I am entering into another plane of consciousness, I acquire and reveal the wealth of that plane of consciousness. When my eyes move, I enter into one plane of consciousness and the treasure of that consciousness enter into my being, and then again through the eye, I reveal it.
Mm-hmm. Again, the number to call for those of you who are listening and would like to direct any questions to Sri Chinmoy is 848-4425. And while we're waiting for some calls, let me ask you some questions about the relationship between leading a spiritual life and being involved in secular activities, getting involved in politics, the use of drugs, getting involved in rock and roll music. I know you yourself are involved in the United Nations, so apparently you don't think that they're two incongruous ways of being.
We have to accept the world, but we have to know the world that we are accepting is accepting us or not. And then while you are accepting the world as such, we have to know whether we have the capacity and the willingness to transform the face of the world. And at the same time, the world is ready, whether the world is ready or not, to give us the opportunity to be of service to the world at large. So the United Nations is the body. It, let us say, it tries to bring about peace all over the world in its own way. There, they do it through political means. And I go there twice a week and hold meditations. My method is the inner method. Both are effective. They are trying through the political means and the outer way, and I am trying by invoking the presence of God, by invoking peace from above. So in the spirit, in our human life, we have to go together, the outer life and the inner life. We cannot ignore the outer life. If we ignore the outer life, then we will remain imperfect. And if we ignore the inner life, then we have nothing to offer. So here, in my philosophy, I feel that everybody has to be accepted, and also the outer and the inner must run side by side.
Can you comment specifically on the use of drugs?
I have spoken hundreds of times on drugs.
Uh-huh.
One thing I wish to say, that real coin and the counterfeit coin, false coins, this look similar, but when you examine it properly, we know that this is a real coin and that the other one is a false coin. So I have a few disciples right now who once upon a time were addicted to drugs, and they had very high, lofty experiences according to their own understanding and realization of that time. And now those same disciples have been meditating with me for a couple of years, and by the grace of discipline have had spiritual experiences, and they say that the difference between the two is like counterfeit false coin and the real coin.
Would you say it's necessary to, in order to achieve enlightenment, to give up sex or to engage in certain other ascetic kinds of disciplines?
No, I used to say asceticism is not necessary in order to realize God. In order to realize God, I must not torture my being. If I cut my arms and run towards my father and say, "Father, Father, see, just for you, to look at you, to come to you, I have cut my arms," Father will not be satisfied. So too much of this asceticism, torturing the body, and in the name of discipline. Discipline is necessary. Anything, when you go to the extreme, is very bad. This asceticism is not advisable. We should adopt the middle path, like the Buddhas, not to go to any extreme, not to be overindulgent, and at the same time, not to be over strict with our physical life, physical consciousness. So, about sex, I used to say, slowly and steadily, one has to transcend it. Overnight, if one wants to conquer sex, then one, it will tell upon his health, it will ruin his consciousness, like taking tea, coffee. If you take 6 times a day, then bring it to 5, then 4, 3, gradually. Gradually, if you try to overcome something, then it becomes solid and permanent in our consciousness. Otherwise, today, we will give up everything, and tomorrow, the forces, lower vital forces, will come and attack us most vehemently. At that time, we will be helpless. So it is slow and steady, one is the race. Here also it is applicable to our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. There are many paths in the West and in the East which claim to lead towards the one goal, reaching the supreme yoga, Tai Chi, Zen. In the West we have astrology, hermeticism, and so forth. Can you comment on these comparatively?
Unfortunately, I do not want to offer any comment, because real yoga does not enter into commentary or any kind of competition. Real yoga includes everything. The path that we are following, the real yoga includes, does not exclude anything. And at the same time, the real yoga tells that everybody is right in his own way. As every religion is right, so also every path is right. Every form of spiritual discipline is right. Only I can speak on my philosophy, you can speak on your philosophy, on your religion. I live in my room, I can tell what I have in my room. All my possessions, I know here I have my chair, here I have this, and it is mine. No, here I have my books. You know what you have in your room. Now, for me to speak what you have in your room, it will be an act of foolishness. Because what do I know anything about your life? So Zen and other paths, their teachers are most qualified to speak on their respective paths. So here I do not make any comparison, and at the same time do not pass any proud comment on any other path, because I am not authorized and qualified.
Mm-hmm.